Claudio Speakeasy, a radio program that has interesting guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio, and always a fun show for all. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, the literary and all else. We'll try anything once or twice. And today I'm actually going to put Rocco on the spot.
Well, Claudio, it's always good to be on the air with you. Audrey Layden has also joined us in the studio.
She's making sure we fly right, making sure things get recorded for podcasting and so on. And I'm really glad she's around because it seems like there's some kind of a glitch every time we play with that computer.
That computer is very tricky.
Yeah. So my reason for picking on Rocco today is going to be because he has such an extensive background in music and in spinning records, so to speak. Actually made a living at it for a long time on commercial radio, that he has bumped into some pretty amazing souls, and I just don't think that those stories should be left unsaid.
Well, Claudio, I spent many, many years in commercial radio and television as an announcer and a DJ, and I was able to meet a number of very, very famous people and popular artists.
Give us a few. I know you met Louis Armstrong. That tickled me right off.
I did. And Louis Armstrong, as you know, is just a legendary artist and an icon in the American entertainment scene.
Still someone that we fashion ourselves after musically even to this day. Yeah.
Absolutely correct. I met Louis Armstrong working the show in the eastern part of the state that he was putting on, and he was probably 65 years old. This would have been 1963 or 64. And I had a chance to meet him because I was the lighting director for the show or the sound director. Mm-hmm. And he was just such a gentleman.
And this was in New York?
No. This was in the eastern part of North Carolina.
Ah, all right.
And he brought with him a band that consisted of maybe six or seven musicians. They were all accomplished jazz artists. Danny Barcelona, I think, was the drummer. Tyree Glenn was the trombone player.
What a memory.
And, well, he had such a great jazz group.
No doubt.
And I remember working the show and getting a chance to meet Louis Armstrong, and he was such a gentleman and so kind-hearted. He wanted to make sure that everyone that was associated with his show had something to eat and to make sure they were comfortable. And he just went out of his way in a kindness fashion.
Took care of his people.
He took care of his people for the show, and he didn't even know our crew.
Hmm. Yeah, every once in a while you meet those golden souls working the stage.
And that's
as I
what
do.
He was. He truly was that.
No doubt.
So I was fortunate enough to meet him. I was a young fellow, maybe 21, 22 years old. And, of course, this was 46, 47 years ago.
Well, you look at the man, you just naturally assume he's got a heart that's bigger than he is.
He was just a good guy.
I want to give a quick shout-out to the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, my underwriter and sponsor here for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Also want to mention that around 10:40 this morning, Broadway Babe, director of Temple Theater in Sanford, who has just launched The Odd Couple, which was performed flawlessly, I saw it a few nights ago. She's going to be just cueing us in on Temple Theater a little bit around that time, 10:40 a.m. this morning. In the meantime, we're going to go at it with music.
I have some Louis Armstrong, and of course, we're all so familiar with it. And he was a great singer.
No doubt.
He was a great musician.
Good old Louis.
In fact, his trumpet playing was so special. I don't think Louis Armstrong ever hit the wrong note. And if he did, it wasn't the wrong note. He made it the right note.
Yeah, yeah.
He couldn't hit a wrong note. Whatever he played on that trumpet, amazing.
Yeah.
And just to hear him warming up and getting ready for the show, he had a sound that came out of that trumpet that was, it really was amazing. And I remember something that he said also, because when he performed in the eastern part of the state, there were many reporters there from the local newspapers and people associated with music, and they were asking him questions, and they said, "Mr. Armstrong, how is it you're so popular with what you do with your voice, given that your voice is so gravelly and really not like the typical singing voice we would hear?"
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what his answer was?
No.
His answer was, he said, it isn't what your voice sounds like.
It's what you do with it.
It's what you do with your voice. And that could apply to anything anyone.
That's true. It's a very good philosophical statement overall.
It is. Audrey, what do you think of Louis Armstrong?
I could start the day listening to Louis every morning.
Well, let's play a tune.
Louis Armstrong.
Give me a kiss to build a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss. Sweetheart, I ask no more than this, a kiss to build a dream on. Give me a kiss before you leave me, and my imagination will feed my hungry heart. Leave me one thing before we part, a kiss to build a dream on. When I'm alone with my fancies, I'll be with you, weaving romances, making believe they're true. Oh, give me your lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live. Give me what you alone can give, a kiss to build a dream on. Imagination will make that moment live. Oh, give me what you alone can give, a kiss to build a dream of.
Satchmo,
the one and only. Thanks indeed for joining us this morning here at WCOM Community Radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill, and for our listeners online at WCOMFM.org. Claudio, what did you think of that?
You don't have to ask me. I love the guy. Oh, the guy can't hit a false note for me.
He could
not in everything he's recording.
He could never play a false note or sing a false note.
If he did, he'd stretch that sucker so far it would sound like it was meant to be.
There'll never be another one like him.
No, I don't think so. I know you also met good old Duke Ellington.
I did.
Some of my favorite people of that era. I'm afraid I was a little too young, I'm happy to be able to say, to have met them myself.
Well, I saw the Duke Ellington Big Band in person in 1969. And at that time, Duke Ellington's band was, of course, legendary, and he had star players in it. He never had an orchestra or a band that didn't have all-star jazz performers. And he had a sound that was so unique, and he wrote so many jazz pieces that he just was, he was terrific. And the band was so overwhelming, if you were to see them in person, that you would never forget them.
No doubt about that, I'm sure.
Anyway,
what do we have by him?
I have a recording that goes back to 1956. It's Ellington at Newport. And the band we're going to hear is actually a band that was maybe the best band Duke Ellington ever had.
I know you thought this was one of his best recordings ever, so.
And I feel this is one of his strongest recordings. And it was a live performance at Newport. In fact, this CD, this album, it first came out on a record album, was the largest selling Duke Ellington album that was ever put out.
So for anyone tuning us in out there, you're listening to my new co-host, Rocco, who is also host of his own show on Saturdays from, where is that, from 9 to noon?
9 to noon.
And it is called Music Hall. So catch him on that as well. But for the time being, just kick back, relax, and soak up some good vibes, good music.
Claudio, I must tell you, some of the people that are going to be playing on this piece in the Ellington Orchestra were so famous in their own right. People like Johnny Hodges and Ben Webster, and all of the musicians were star performers in their own right.
He's pulling all of this out of his memory here.
Jimmy Hamilton.
He doesn't even have a note
clarinet.
In front of him. I'd need notes for this.
So it truly is a great recording. It's called Blues to Be There. And you'll hear the Ellington Band, I believe, at its best.
Here we go.
As you well know, one of the outstanding names in the field of jazz is that of Duke Ellington. And the group of men that are with him are all musicians that are considered among the best. And certainly when working together under the direction and the very wonderful inspiration of Duke Ellington, one of the most capable groups in the field of jazz at the present moment. I'm going to turn it over to the Duke and let him kind of introduce, because he does it very facilely and very easily. So it's Duke Ellington.
Thank you very much, Father. We have prepared a new theme. And, of course, it's done especially for the Newport Jazz Festival. And so we'll call the first part of it Festival Junction. Jimmy Hamilton will state the theme. Thank you.
And you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre. I'm here in the studio with my co-host Rocco, and you're listening to Duke Ellington, Blues to Be There. This is WCOM 103.5 FM.
And the second section will be titled Blues to Be There. Thank you.
This is 103.5 WCOM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Now here's Claudio.
The one and only Duke Ellington and Company.
What did you think? What did you think of that?
Loved it. We're just trying to give you folks a laid-back morning. Hope it's not too laid-back. Watch out for that pole.
Could you tell that Ellington had really complete control over that orchestra?
He was certainly one of the giants of his day. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was a
He was living that moment.
A jazz orchestra, not a dance band orchestra. It was primarily jazz musicians.
I know.
And they could play so well.
Would have enjoyed being there for that.
Claudio, who are some of the folks that you've met in the entertainment field over the years?
Oh, God, there are a host of them. I'd have to chapter a book with them, but from being personal chef to many of them at sea in the Caribbean, and also working the Carolina Theater stage as well as many other stages as stage manager. Goes from King Obstinate, Marcel Marceau, Phil Harris and Alice Faye. I bumped into Frank Zappa even. I really enjoyed stage managing Al Jarreau. Also Billy Davis and Marilyn McCoo in Dreamgirls. Billy Davis was the character.
I'd like to ask you, what was Phil Harris like?
At first, he had kind of an ornery front when I first met him on the yacht. I think he was breaking out of something, which was probably the reason he'd come to spend some time on the yacht. I was personal chef for the producers of the Waltons, Lorimar Productions. They did the Waltons and what was the other, the Texas show that they had back in those days, a big hit. I forget the name.
Dallas,
that's it. And we basically brought in a lot of either the cameo players or the stars that were a big part of whatever show was coming out.
I think I remember hearing that the star of the Dallas show, I can't remember, Larry Hagman.
Yes.
His mother was Mary Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she was a Broadway star and played Peter Pan and Broadway for years, was in the limelight.
But the fun I had with, going back to Billy Davis and Marilyn McCoo in Dreamgirls, Billy and I hit it off on a really cool note. I sort of acted like the dissatisfied stage manager, and whenever he came off stage after he'd done a number, I'd go, Billy, now, come on, I know you can do better than that. And so he started coming backstage after his numbers and going, hey, Claudio, was that good? Was that good? And I'd go, Billy, get me somebody with some makeup, some brown shoe polish, and take off your clothes because I'm going to put them on and show you how it's done. And we had that kind of a rapport going on backstage.
I can tell you a little story
pretty cool
about
cat.
Those two. I met them through the Fifth Dimension. Again, I was
of
working
course,
another
dimension.
Show,
yeah.
And they were a third of the Fifth Dimension. And I worked the lights and the sound for the Fifth Dimension when they were performing in the eastern part of the state. And this was about 1968, I believe. I had just come out of the Army, and it was 68 or 69. And the Fifth Dimension were performing, but what I noticed about all of them was they all came in wearing Levi blue jeans and cowboy boots. The women and the men in the group. And, mm-hmm. of course, they had a number of big hits back then.
Oh, yeah.
Up, Up and Away and Would You Like to Ride in My Beautiful Balloon. And they were very famous and riding a wave of hits,
yeah,
but very nice people.
And I was amazed as to how personable they were. Just to run through a few more names of folks I can pull out of memory. Tony Curtis was another one. John Prine. I was working one of his concerts, and he comes backstage. I don't know where this came from. He walks up to me and says, you wouldn't happen to have a joint, would you? And I said, I'm afraid I don't right now, bro. Bonnie Raitt, George Winston, Tommy Emmanuel, who's actually coming back to Memorial Auditorium. Tommy Emmanuel is. Judy Collins, Joan Baez, Mandy Patinkin, Terrence Mann of Beauty and the Beast, and on and on. But I think we need to spin something else, because in about 5 minutes, we've got somebody calling in.
Well, have you ever heard of Peter Allen?
I actually am not that familiar with Peter Allen, although I may end up recognizing the music. I don't know.
Well, Peter Allen was an Australian singer, played the piano, wrote music, great performer, and just put on a good show. And I think you'll like this.
Well, let's,
with this sound that
let's give the
has.
Folks something different, and then we should have Peggy Taphorn calling in about 5 minutes.
You're listening to excellent programming and broadcasting when you listen to WCOM. Your community radio station. Here's Peter Allen now.
mellow, and every gal only had one fellow. No need to remember when, 'cause everything old is new again. Dancing at your Long Island jazz age party will bring us some more Bacardi. We'll order now what they ordered then, 'cause everything old is new again. Get out your white suit, your tap shoes and tails. Let's go backward when forward fails. And movie stars you thought were long dead now are framed beside your bed. Don't throw the past away. You might need it some rainy day. Dreams can come true again when everything old is new again. Get out your white suit, your tap shoes and tails. Put it in backward when forward fails. But leave Greta Garbo alone. Be a movie star.
Go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
And referring to that ad you just heard, there is really no excuse that any child should go hungry.
Absolutely.
That's something that really gets under my skin, that happens at all in this world of plenty. Anyway, I did recognize Peter Allen. I don't think I followed him much because I'm familiar with a tune here and a tune there. But you said he's a pretty big name in Australia.
Well, he passed away at a very early age, Claudio, and maybe the fellow was 45 to 50 years old. And, and he kind of died unexpectedly and really never reached the peak of his career. What could have been so?
Is he someone that you met?
I never met Peter Allen. He was performing here in this country in the early and mid-70s. And I had a chance to go. I think he came somewhere here in this state, either the Greensboro Coliseum or somewhere in Raleigh. And I missed the show. But you could tell he was very talented. He played the piano. He wrote a number of songs. And he was someone who never reached the heights that he could have reached.
Definitely a nice touch on the keys. Well, just in case Peggy doesn't call in on time, no telling what happens in the theater world, what do we have to play next?
I have something by Vic Damone.
Ooh, good old Vic.
They say Vic Damone maybe had the best voice in the entertainment world at one time in the popular entertainment world. And, of course, he had many hits in the 50s and 60s, and kind of modeled himself after Frank Sinatra.
Makes me think of something that was once said to Dean Martin when he was part of the Rat Pack at one of his parties. A guest came up to him and said, "Man, you just have the most amazing voice. You three guys are it." And Dean Martin looked at him and says, "Son, we're just the cocktail of the hour."
Well, Vic Damone, as you know, Well, he was one of the most famous male singers of his era. And I found this recording by him that I feel is the best thing I've ever heard him do. Now, he had many.
What's it called?
I'm not going to tell you what it's
called. Now, is he someone you met?
No, I never met Vic Damone, but I saw him in person.
Well, that counts.
I was maybe, oh, I guess I was about 10 years old, 8 or 9 years old, and Vic Damone was just getting started. This would have been like 1950. Yeah. And I was taken to either the Adams Theater or the Branford Theater.
And even at that age, you were taken by the voice?
Well, I was a young
boy. Or were you just hanging out with the folks?
I was taken to the show by my mother.
Right. But I'm saying, were you affected by the voice at age 10, or did it not really connect that well?
Well, it really didn't connect that well at that time, but I think Vic Damone got better as he progressed along. If you were to hear him in 1948 or 49, it was one thing. I mean, he was a great singer. But by 1962 or 1960, I believe his voice matured. He was more polished. He was a better entertainer.
Fantastic.
See what I mean?
Since Peggy may or may not call, I'm going to basically plug what she was going to call about. She invited me to come and see her current run of The Odd Couple at Temple Theater in Sanford, North Carolina. And I have to say it was absolutely flawless. I was involved with the production with Tom Poston and Tim Conway many moons ago, and I would have to say that the show that she directed and put on at Temple Theater equaled that. It was a flawless piece of work. Michael Brockie, who played Felix Unger, did an incredible job. Stephen Moore, who played Oscar on this particular night, did an amazing job too. And one of the catchy things about the performance was, Peggy came on early to announce this, that these two actors switch roles every night. So one plays Felix one night, one plays Oscar the other night, and they rotate. So they've got to remember the lines from each other. So
not
they can
an easy
switch.
Thing
no,
to
not
do.
An easy thing. And it was an absolutely flawless production. Peggy came in as one of the sisters, as well as Trish Hamilton, one of the Pigeon Sisters, who were basically the sexy part of the show. And I got to tell you, they heated up the room considerably with their presences. And it was just an absolutely wonderful production for the Temple Theater, which seats about 300. To have that kind of a community theater have such a standout production is really something I'm bragging about, Peggy about. That's Peggy Taphorn, director, artistic director of Temple Theater, and she acts in quite a number of the productions that she puts on. So let's go to something musical. Looks like Peggy's been slightly delayed and may not call until later or may not get to us at all.
Vic Damone.
In the still of the night, while I'm drifting and dreaming, in the still of the night, my thoughts all stray to you. By the moon's mellow light, while the world is in slumber, oh, the times without number, darling, when I say to you, as I love you, are you my life to be, my dream come true? Or will this dream of mine fade out of sight, like the moon growing dim on the rim of the hill, in the chill still of the night, like the moon growing dim on the rim of the hill, in the chill still of the night.
high-powered radio programming. You're listening to WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro.
Sounds like a young, emerging Frank Sinatra, that voice, doesn't it?
Isn't that a terrific recording?
It is. You can certainly tell by that vocal timbre that voice was going somewhere.
Well, Claudio, I believe your caller gave us a call during a Vic Damone song.
Just after I got through bragging about her, the phone rang.
And so she said she's going to call back.
We put her off. So, Peggy, if you're listening, go ahead and call this number.
We are ready.
Otherwise, we're going to play some more music. So give us a ring, girl, if you're there. Otherwise, what do we have lined up next?
Let's go to this PSA.
All right.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. And what do we have lined up for the next tune, if Peggy doesn't squeeze in here in a minute or so?
Well, I have some material by Ray Anthony. And as you know, Ray Anthony had a big band.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Anthony used to play in the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Now,
right,
this was the new Glenn Miller Orchestra. And Glenn Miller died in 1941 or 42, but his drummer, Ray McKinley, took over the band, and Ray Anthony was in one of the bands that came about after World War II, and basically had a band of his own, a terrific orchestra, and have some Ray Anthony.
That sounds good. Let's go to that, and we may have to delay her call again. Ray Anthony, here we go.
You're listening to WCOM Radio, 103.5 FM. In the background is Ray Anthony. This is Claudio Speakeasy. Claudio, I believe we have your caller.
All right. This is right after I got through bragging about you, girl. Then I jumped ship and went looking for you. Good morning.
I'm so glad to hear your cheery voice on this dreary day.
Oh, thank you. Now, I was bragging about your show. I didn't send you any emails because I figured we'd just talk about it fresh when you called in. I absolutely loved the production.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I was involved with the Tom Poston, Tim Conway production at Memorial Auditorium many moons ago, and your show equaled it.
You.
On every level.
What do you think of those Pigeon Sisters?
I love them. Oh, man, that was my favorite part. You certainly heated up the room when you walked in. And I try to get the audience to clap whenever you girls made an appearance. I managed to do it once.
Excellent. But, I appreciate that.
No, you were hot.
It really is. You know, it's Neil Simon who is, you know, America's great comedic playwright.
Yes.
And so you can't go wrong if you just say his words in the proper order.
Absolutely. I've got to give you one of the inspirations of my life when I lived in Brooklyn Heights on the corner of Cranberry and Hicks, which is right around where they filmed that movie with Cher. What was that called?
Moonstruck.
Thank you. I lived in that neighborhood when I lived there. And I got up early one morning just to go take a stretch, find myself some coffee. And there was this fella sitting under a lamppost on the bench making notes. And I noticed him because a writer is always inspired at seeing somebody make notes.
Exactly.
And as I walked past, I didn't want to disturb the gentleman. I realized it was Neil Simon.
Wow, that's neat.
That was one of my treasures, yeah.
Right. Well, our director for this production, Craig Ryan, is a New Yorker. He's one of the few native New Yorkers who still lives in New York. And he actually had the opportunity to work with Neil Simon. Neil came in as a script doctor on it actually ended up going to Broadway, a show that Craig was Tony nominated for called Those Were the Days. And they were doing their out-of-town tryout, which, you know, shows sometimes don't even do anymore these days. And it just wasn't landing. You know, the jokes just weren't landing. So the director said, well, I'm going to call an old friend of mine, and maybe he'll fly out. They were in California, and to work a little magic on the script. Well, that friend just happened to be Neil Simon.
Fantastic.
And then the show just happened to receive a Tony nomination. So
fantastic.
So he loves Neil Simon, and I think one of the cool things that we're doing here at the Temple through March 4th is that we're calling it the Odd Couple Experiment.
I love the fact that they rotate roles every night. Is that where you're going?
I mean, these two actors are doing yeoman's work. We actually have a very abbreviated rehearsal time here, and we actually gave them an extra week, so they had 3 whole weeks of rehearsal.
Amazing.
To learn both Felix and Oscar. And it's actually turned out to be wonderful. We've had several people who've come back twice already and say they're coming back again.
I want to come and see when the other fella does. Brocky did Felix. I want to see
When
Steve does it, yes.
Yes. Yeah, the actors are Michael Brocky and Stephen Moore. Michael's based now out of Carrboro.
Oh, fantastic.
Actually, he just recently moved up there. And Steve Moore is based out of Greensboro, and they both have worked very hard, and I think it's all paid off.
Fantastic. I just before you called, I read the entire script out of the program guide, so I've got them properly accredited. Regrettably, you called in quite late. I'm about 2 minutes away from wrapping the show, so anything you want to plug for the next 2 minutes, it's yours, girl.
Well, if anybody's not busy tonight on this dreary Tuesday night, we are having a great bluegrass band, really one of the kings of bluegrass, the Rodney Dillard Band.
All right.
And people may not recognize that name, but he was one of the Darling family on the Andy Griffith Show.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's 2-time Grammy winner. They've been out in Branson, Missouri for about 20 years, but they're originally from North Carolina, and they're doing a little mini tour of their home state.
Fantastic.
So I hope people will come out. That's tonight at 7 p.m. at the Temple Theater in Sanford.
Absolutely. Go if you can make it.
That's certainly right.
Always worthwhile. And Peggy, thank you. And I also want to mention that Peggy is going to be on my show live on March 13th, I believe it is, isn't it?
Yes, I will.
Yes. And we'll take it from there. Thanks for calling in, girl.
All right. Thanks for chatting, and I will see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
And thank you.
Go ahead, Claudio.
There we go. Setting each other up. I just want to say that was Peggy Taphorn calling in. She's the artistic director of Temple Theater and has done an amazing job keeping that ship afloat in these times.
Well, Claudio, the hour went by quickly.
We were having fun.
I know. What did you think of the music?
I love the music. I grew up with that. You know, throw in Ella Fitzgerald and you've got the package, but there's so much more. And what we're going to do as we proceed with future shows is we're going to do a little more of Rocco's background and people that he's actually met and the music of these folks. And at some point, throw in some folks I've stumbled into, like nearly knocking Frank Zappa off the pier in St. Thomas. Actually, not off the pier. We were both heading for the same boat, and we bumped into each other and nearly knocked each other into the water.
Well, what do you have lined up for next week?
I've got Nick Beery coming in next week. He's a documentarian. He's got a film that's going to be released at Duke. And just going to get to know him and talk about his film, his upcoming production. So I want to thank you folks out there for tuning us in. The big promise at the Speakeasy is you keep us tuned in and we'll keep you turned on. And that's how we play it here at Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Until next time, cheers.